afternoon, folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul. I'm going to be here for Melody today. She took the afternoon off. I don't know what for, but she didn't tell me. I guess that's okay. And I'm going to do my best to fill in for her the best I can. And this is Financial Survival, and I'm glad you're out there today listening to this broadcast. It is 24 October 2019. Another month about in our books, folks. We get closer and closer to the next election. It's about a year away, and only God knows what's going to bring. But anyway, glad you're with us today, and I do mean that. We've got a lot of news articles to cover today, so I'll get right into these markets like Melody always does, do the best I can. The metals had a pretty good day today, all but one. Gold was up $10.48 to $1,506.20. Folks, remember when gold went to $1,500 about a month and a half ago, and it stayed in that area, and it's climbing back up again above the $1,500 mark? And about 4 months ago, it was running to 12 and 13s. Don't you wish you bought it back then? Really? And silver was up 24 cents, 1784. Silver is probably, in my mind, because of the chance of going higher, really performing well and actually going up quicker on a percentage level than gold, it's a great investment right now. It truly is. I would jump on both feet if, I mean, really, folks, I would. The palladium was up 26.22, 1776.30. The only metal that was down was platinum, down $1.11 to $922.94. Excuse me. I've had sinus pain for about a month. Can't get rid of it. Anyway, the Dow Jones was -16.62 at 28,817.33. The NASDAQ was plus a little bit, 58.41 at 81.78. S&P was plus 441 at 3,893. So the market's somewhat just steady, I guess you could say. Nothing really exciting about. The 10-year yield was 1.77. Oil was up 18% at 56.13 per barrel. The Japan Nikkei was up 125 points at 22,750. The Hong Kong Hang Seng was up 233 points at 26,797. The London FTSE was up 68.14 at 73,28.25. The Germany DAX was up 74.34 at 12,87.10. So the markets were not huge, I guess, in gain, but steady, pretty much steady. And again, I'm impressed again with gold and silver. You know, all the indications is that when you have a strong market, gold and silver generally suffer because of that, but they're not. They're holding their own. The gold broke 1,500 a month so ago, and it's holding pretty much steady. Silver was up to 18. It's almost up there again, so it's a good sign that metals are not going to be shrinking that much anymore. So all I can say is, if you haven't already called Melody, I don't know what's holding you up. I really don't. I don't get it. I mean, if you can invest at all in something worthwhile, gold and silver is a way to go. And you can have something that's always tangible in your possession. Don't put it in a safety deposit box. They can be raided. Don't put it anywhere else in somebody else's hands. Keep it in your own hands, private, secure, and yours. You call her at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Again, excuse me, sinuses are draining, like I said, and it's embarrassing. There's not much I can do about it. If I take anything to help stop it, it makes me sleepy, and I don't want to snore on you on the air. But there's so much happening, so much mass confusion, so many things to talk about as far as the way everything's heading in this country and around the world. But I live in America. I'm concerned for other countries, obviously, because they do affect us. But I'm concerned for the people that live there. But I live here. And what happens here does make a difference. And it looks like the Fed's going to meet next week and discuss it more in a minute, and it's going to lower interest rates. Matter of fact, the U.S. may finally join the global negative interest rate club. Vivian Liu Chin, bookmark, wrote, said that government bonds in Denmark, Germany, Japan, Sweden, and Switzerland carry negative yields, meaning it will cost money for investors to hold them to maturity. They think America will soon go the wrong way. And I am not intelligent enough to understand all this. But why would anybody want to invest in a bond when it costs you money to have it? Don't make any sense to me. I don't understand how negative interest rates are going to really help the economy that much, in a sense that you lose money if you have money. I don't get that. I don't understand that. But again, I'm not an economist, as Melody is. She's much better informed and trained on this than I am, but I'll do the best I can. Durable goods orders tumble in September. Business investment contracts most since Trump elected. So after a solid rebound in June and July, analysts expect September to extend. August showed slowdown, but things were considerably worse than expected as headline durable goods orders fell 1.1%, leaving orders down 4.0% year over year. So the economy's booming, according to Trump and some others, but durable goods orders tumble and business investments actually shrinks most since Trump's been elected. You know, back when they passed the tax cut for the millionaires, and that's all well and good, I suppose. For a bit, we thought maybe things would turn around. They did briefly, because people that had the money did invest maybe a few more dollars. But the common folks didn't get a lot of a break. Matter of fact, they ended up paying more. So, I don't know. You tell me, how is that fair? And this article says strongest economy ever. Americans receive more in benefits than paying taxes. Now this, talk about lopsided. How long can the government pay out more in benefits than they take in as far as income to pay them? Think about that. So, but if it is the strongest economy ever, then why the need for aggressive rate cuts, which are emergency measures to be utilized to offset recessionary conditions? Folks, the rates are going to be cut to boost the economy. And from what I've seen and studied, that when interest rates go to nothing, it's a temporary fix that soon falls completely apart. While the claims of an exceptionally strong economy really rely heavily on historically low unemployment rates and jobless claim numbers, historically high levels of asset prices, and strong consumer spending trends, there is an underlying deterioration that goes unaddressed. For example, while reported unemployment is hitting historically low levels, there is a swelling mass of uncounted individuals. Now pay attention, because this is important. They've either given up looking for work or who are working multiple part-time jobs. This is shown by those not in labor force as a percent of the working age population, which has skyrocketed since the recession. The unemployment to population ratio would not still be at the levels from the 1980s. If employment was indeed as strong as reported by government agencies, then social benefits would not be comprising a record high 22% of real disposable incomes. Now folks, this is how this breaks down. 40 million Americans are on food stamps. Over one-tenth of this country is on food stamps. Over one-quarter. An estimated 50% of 330 million Americans in this country get at least one federal benefit, according to the Census Bureau. 50% get some type of federal benefit. An estimated 63 million get Social Security. 59.9 million get Medicare. 75 million get Medicaid, 5 million get housing subsidies, and 4 million get veterans benefits. Now listen, I'll make a comment here, and people ain't going to like it. I really don't care. If you work for 45, 50 years, Social Security is not a benefit. It's your money. You've earned that. It is not an entitlement, nor is it welfare. It's earned money. You paid into Medicare all your life, you should get something back out of that. Same thing with Medicaid. Housing subsidies can go either way. And veterans, myself being one, when we went in and took the oath, they told us you will be taken care of with medical benefits the rest of your lives because you volunteered your time in, were drafted into it. We're going to give you medical benefits for the rest of your life, I guess as a way of paying back some of your time. Now, whether that's right or wrong, at this point, is not the issue. The issue is, they promised. They said, here it is. You do this, we'll do that. So I don't necessarily consider those benefits in the sense that it's something that we didn't earn, or at least didn't more or less make a contract for. But so if you count the 50 million up, 50% of the Americans are getting at least one federal benefit. Social Security and other things should not be counted, because the government took the money from us in the first place, wasted it everywhere, and pays us back a pittance once a month. That is not the way that should be counted as a benefit. That's all there is to it. That's the way it is. I don't care what anybody says. That doesn't change the fact that it's my money. I earned it. So I should get it. I should get it back. If they want to pay it back one lump sum and about 10% interest, we'll talk about that. We're going to pay it back monthly. It makes no difference. Still my money. Now, to say again, if the economy's so great, why is the Fed injecting $134 billion in liquidity, term repo oversubscribed amid month-end liquidity panic? If everything is so wonderful, why is the Fed pumping up banking? How come banks aren't lending like they were? Sarkle says, with stocks threatening to close in the red late on Wednesday, the Fed sparked a furious last-hour rally. When in a statement published precisely when the S&P ramp started, the New York Fed confirmed it would dramatically increase both its overnight and term liquidity provision beginning tomorrow through November 14th. So they extended it again and increased the amount. Folks, there's more to this article, but I want to make this comment. The economy is slowing. The economy is starting to falter. And they're desperately trying to prop it up. And I'm convinced that a lot of these sideshows we hear in the news, a lot of this impeachment baloney, is to keep our minds off our financial needs and our country's deterioration financially. The country's infrastructure is falling apart, both on the government side and the private side. The infrastructures are falling apart. The airlines are having problems, and I tell you that's true from personal experience. The bridges and the roads are falling apart in many places because the financial system is crumbling under a fiat currency and dead weight of nothing. Dead weight of nothing. Good way to put it. Okay. All right. We got a caller. I'm not going to take any caller, but I will take one from Mike in North Carolina. Mike, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you, Butch. It's very clear on the phone. Shortwave's kind of on the blip, so I didn't know what you were talking about. But I just wanted to give a plug for Melody. In World War II, wealthy families, mainly Jewish, were buying members of their family that were in concentration camps. They were buying them out through a rat line similar to that the Catholic Church was also helping in. And we know what's coming. And that's as good a plug for putting away some coins as I can think of it, of anything. These people are not going to take a check. But it's possible may be able to redeem some people that you care about from bad situations. Just a thought.
You're right on. You're right. And I'm going to say this too. If somebody has the means, there is no greater gift to give somebody than some precious metals to keep for hard times ahead. All my grandchildren up to the turn 18 gets us. I love you. Thank you. All right. Talk to you soon. Okay. He's right, folks. To help someone else out with real financial stability, a great gift to give someone. I'll get all my grandchildren, as I was going to say, up to the turn 18, a silver dollar every birthday. I know it's not much, but something of value that they can keep and cash in if they want to. It's their money. But anyway, like I was saying, the feds are putting in $134 billion more into the repo market and extended up through the November 14th. I guess they're hoping for a turnaround in the economy. And folks, I have to tell you now that I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I just can't see it happening. With the finances all over the world and the trade the trading markets, I guess you'd say, the trading ideas are so fluctuating up and down. It's hard to see that America can come out of this on top anyway. Now, Trump may be a genius when it comes to this. He may pull something out of the hat in a little bit that's going to look like a miracle. It could be. As of right now, I don't see it. But Trump blasts the Fed, said it was derelict in its duties if it doesn't cut rates next week. Jay Powell and the Fed have avoided President Trump's Twitter air for a while, but ahead of the next week's FOMC meeting, the president has come out swinging. The Federal Reserve is derelict in its duties if it doesn't lower the rate and even ideally stimulate. Take a look around the world at our competitors. Germany and others are actually getting paid to borrow money. Fed was way too fast to raise and way too slow to cut. If one looks to the market, it's clear that President Trump is and will get what he wants, as rate cut odds are now almost certain of a cut next week. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you on that. That's just something that, in my mind, it is trying to stimulate the economy that it can't work for very, very long at a time. But I'm not an expert on that by any means. But you look, according to this article, for a cut next week on the rate from the Fed. We will see what happens. They said Germany and others are actually getting paid to borrow money. Does sound good on paper, doesn't it? Sounds good in theory. But how does it work in the long run? Does it fix things for a long period of time? Or is it a temporary boost to get people to spend and to borrow and actually go in debt? I don't know. You folks up there are probably smarter than I am. By the way, I won't plan on taking any phone calls. But if you want to call, you can. I don't know the number off the top of my head. I know it's 844-something, but I'll get it during the break. Let you know if you want to call and say anything. It's up to you on that. I know we normally don't, but I do take phone calls on my own broadcast, and I don't mind talking to folks. And Trump is, I guess you say, he's biting back over the issue of impeachment. Trump calls Republicans who oppose him human scum, more dangerous for our country than Democrats. Well, the man does speak his mind, I guess you could say. President Donald Trump lashed out at Never Trump Republicans on Wednesday amidst a mysticizing impeachment inquiry, calling them human scum and more dangerous to America than Democrats. The Never Trumper Republicans, though on respirators with not many left, are in certain ways worse and more dangerous for the country than the do-nothing Democrats, Trump said. Watch out for them. They are human scum. Now, that's pretty strong words. I don't know your opinion on that. That's up to you, but the impeachment, I have no idea what to tell you. Good or bad, I don't know. But we'll know soon. Back at the break, folks. A lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, I am back. And again, forgive me for coughing and clearing my throat on the air. I don't mean to. I have a button here. I get to, if I can hit it quick enough, that does take out the noise for a minute. But if you hear some pauses, just know I'm trying not to be rude. I really am. I really try to do a best job I can and be professional about this, because Melody Cederstrom has been in the business a lot of years. And I've never, ever, ever, ever heard one bad report for her. About her. I've never heard anybody complain about soldiers and getting the product or feeling they got cheated at all. I made several deals with Melody over the years, nothing huge, never had a lot of money in buying and selling back. And she's always, always been there for me and the family. Always. Now, if you want to call us, you can. I'll take phone calls. 844-769-2944. I know, again, I apologize. I'm not professional with this. I'm doing the best I can for Melody, and I hope this is something that's been a blessing to y'all, too. You have to listen to this article to believe it. It's kind of powerful, actually. It's entitled, A Call for a Coup. Now, I'm not making this up. A call for a coup. There was what might be described as an extraordinary amount of nonsense being promoted by last week's media. Unfortunately, some of it was quite dangerous. Admiral William McRaven, who commanded the Navy SEALs when Osama bin Laden was captured and killed, and who has been riding that horse ever since, announced that if Donald Trump continues to fail to provide the type of leadership the country needs, he should be replaced. Now, pay attention. As a retired admiral saying this, be replaced by whatever means are necessary. Did you hear that? Hear that? The op-ed entitled, A Republic is Under Attack by the President, with a subtitle, If President Trump Doesn't Demonstrate the Leadership That America Needs, Then It's Time for a New Person in the Oval Office, was featured in the New York Times, suggesting that the gray lady was providing its newspaper of record seal of approval for what might well be regarded as a call for a military coup. McRaven's exact words, after some ringing praise for the military and all its glorious deeds in the past wars, were that the soldiers, sailors, and Marines now must respond because the America that they believed in was under attack, not from without but from within. You know, I'm not a trumpeter, as I keep saying to everybody. But if an admiral had said this, a retired admiral said this about Obama, he paid hell for that. But said about Trump, and it's printed in the New York Times, and I didn't hear a beep on the news. I didn't. Not one beep. Not one beep. We got another caller online. Who was again? I'm sorry. Mike in on Mark, New York. Mark, come on in. Welcome. Hello, Mark. Oh, we lost him. Okay, Mark, call back if you like. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Is he back up again? Okay. Anyway, so we have an ad. I can hear you on the line, Todd. We have a retired admiral saying that Trump needs taken out, if necessary, by military coup. Now, that should concern all of us. People, do you understand that if there would happen to be a military coup or any type of, and I'm going to share with you in a minute about the Civil War and how close we are to it, you know what that would mean to our finances, to our food supply lines, to our electricity, our niceties that we're used to? Who knows? Even maybe cell phones will be shut off because of chaos. Who knows? And I know for a fact that millions of people will go nuts without a cell phone. Because every time you see them, they're sitting scrolling on the phone. Oh, I'm not looking at nothing here. I didn't turn the thing off and do something else. I don't get it. But if we would happen to have this type of problem, please, folks, understand that it won't be pretty. It's not going to be. We've never seen this in our lifetime. The last great war between the states and the wrong side lost, in my opinion, ended in 1865. And since we went further and further into tyranny and a new federal government that's not supposed to be there in the way it is, but it is. And we're in for another battle ahead, I do believe. Mark, go ahead. What's on your mind, sir?
Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, sir.
I wanted to bring up 2 points. One was about the economy and the sales of new 18-wheeler trucks.
Okay.
From what I understand from the local truckers that I've spoken to, the regulations are so stiff on the newer trucks. What they're doing is they're outfitting old trucks that have been retired. I mean, stripping them right down and building them right up from the ground up, completely renewing. It's actually cheaper for them to do that than it is to buy a new truck and to operate it the way they require it to be. The other thing I wanted to mention was a movie I just watched called Unplanned. It's about the abortion industry. Docudrama.
Yeah, yes. Yes, I've seen that movie.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you discussed it?
I have. I've had the lady on the program that what the movie was about. My other broadcast. I've had her on my program.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Well, you know, Steve Quayle so eloquently put it, there's no political solution to a spiritual problem.
No, there's not.
This film is key to finally changing the abortion debate and will be the linchpin event into finally ending the abortion in the country. Now, one of the things they pointed out was one of the dirty little secrets that's closely guarded through Planned Parenthood. They said that there was up to 75% no-show appointment at the clinic when there were people praying at the clinic boundaries. There's 1.5 billion abortions worldwide, which nobody ever talks about.
That's true.
Of course, approximately 3,000 performed in the U.S. to a total of 60-plus million in the U.S. since
And actually, I will tell you now from sources I have, it's closer to 150 million. All of them are not reported, but go ahead. Because they're cash in hand, so to speak. Yes.
Wow.
And because a lot of this is done with cash, and if a doctor don't report them, they get a pocket of cash.
Anyone
that would murder an unborn child has no qualms about cheating on taxes, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that a problem on cheating on taxes, but anyway, they don't report them all.
Well, I'd recommend that everybody out there get this film. You can go to unplanned.com, support them, because they are the filmmakers, and they come from a Christian perspective. You know, the funny thing is I had no idea what it was. And within the first 5 minutes of viewing it, when they showed the sign Planned Parenthood, I almost aborted the film because I thought for sure it was going to be a pro-choice film. Well, I stuck with it, and boy, was I wrong.
Well, it showed some fairly graphic details, as it should, and it exposed what murdering unborn babies is all about. So,
yep.
Folks, she's right. Get a copy of the film Unplanned as soon as possible. I think it'll be well worth your while. Go ahead.
Fairly recent release, end of March of this year, and it's an. I want to say you'd never know you were watching an independent film. Not only the director and the actors, I mean, it's just extremely well done. Very, very moving featurette too. Where you find out a lot of the information that will just, I mean, it'll bring tears to your eyes, just the featurette.
Well, it breaks your heart to see it in a sense that you know what's going on, but when they show it kind of graphically in this film, it certainly opens your eyes to the facts that the truth is out there. And I'm so thankful somebody had enough courage to make that film. I really am. So thankful for that.
It's amazing they were able to do it.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome, Mark. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right. Folks, again, the line's open, 844-769-2944. This article was written by Paul Bedard. Now, listen to what I said. I'm not saying it. I didn't write this article, although I totally agree with it. Battleground. 7 in 10 say U.S. is on the edge of civil war. 70% of people think we're going to civil war. And I do highly tend to agree with this. Partisan political division, the resulting incivility has reached a low in America, with 67% believing that the American nation is nearing civil war, according to a new national survey. The majority of Americans believe that we are two-thirds of the way to being on the edge of civil war. That, to me, is a very pessimistic place, said Mo Elethi, executive director of Georgetown University's Institute of Politics and Public Service. And worse, he said, in announcing the results of the Institute's Battleground Poll Civility Survey, the political division is likely to make the upcoming 2020 presidential race the nastiest in modern history. Highlighting findings that show voters angered with compromise and growing unfavorable ratings of President Trump and most 2020 Democratic presidential candidates, he said the poll paints a scenario, a picture of a highly negative campaign that will continue to exacerbate the incivility in our public discourse. And I totally agree with that. He added it will be a sort of race to the bottom, or has the potential to be the race to the bottom. The civility poll is an offshoot of the famous bipartisan battleground poll conducted by Democratic pollster Selina Lake of the Lake Research Partners and Ed Goas of the Terrace Group, who have found that 87% are frustrated with the rudeness in the politics today. It's also revealed that the public really isn't interested in traditional compromise. For example, nearly 84% said that they're tired of leaders compromising by my values and ideals. Amen to that. Anthony explained, it seems to me what they're saying is, I believe it's common ground. It's just that common ground is where I'm standing. As soon as you move over to where I am, we'll be on common ground. Folks, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said back in the 70s, they predicted this to happen. He's right on the money. That America was going to collapse because of too much individuality. And you say, what do you mean? What I mean is, no one wants to conform to a common goal of decency with each other, civility with each other. A common moral code that said we don't steal and murder and lie and cheat. That was once in this nation a common idea that we just didn't do those things. And it was permeated society to the point that we didn't need a lot of cops. We didn't have a lot of cops shooting innocent people by mistake or on purpose. We didn't have a lot of situations where people were changing their sexual desires as something perverted. We didn't have that. It wasn't acceptable. We had a somewhat moral society. But because we've lost that moral code that's written in scriptures, we now have chaos, and civil war, I think, is imminent in this country. And again, I ask you this. What will you do if it happens? How will you plan to feed yourself and take care of yourself if it happens? Are you preparing for things ahead that could happen? Are you getting storable food? Do you have a Berkey water filter we share through our ministry? Do you have all those things? And do you have some kind of financial ability to preserve your buying power through this situation? Folks, I'm not a prophet, nor am I a genius when it comes to understanding all the ins and outs of this. But I will tell you now that America has been divided more in the last three years, actually, under Obama, too, I would say, in the last 7 years. Actually, I guess 10 years now. Obama's in for 8 years. I would say that it's been divided more under the last two administrations than ever had been in our lifetime. And on purpose. Please know this is not by accident. This is all by design. So I would urge you to at least call Melody and ask what she thinks you can do to protect yourself financially in the future. It's worth a discussion, is it not? 800-375-4188 is what you need to call. Check on it. Pentagon draws up plans to withdraw from Afghanistan. NBC News is quoting Pentagon officials as saying that they are engaged in prudent planning for an abrupt withdrawal from U.S. forces from Afghanistan if President Trump made a sudden decision to do so. The officials are complaining about the quick moves in Syria and say they are viewing it as a dress rehearsal for what could be a similar U.S. pullout from Afghanistan. Defense Secretary Mark Esper insists that no policy changes have been made in Afghanistan. Though Pentagon officials are often style themselves as constantly making plans to get out in front of decisions, this is never something practically seen when a quick policy decision is made. As a Pentagon, brass seem to constantly drag their feet on any changes they don't like. Will Trump pull Afghanistan? I don't know. We shouldn't have been there in the first place, and you know that's true. You know that's true. You know he pulled out of Syria, but apparently military leader of Syrian Kurds thanks Trump for ceasefire. They're praising Trump for the ceasefire. Even though he pulled out and left them hanging in the dark, so to speak. Again, I said this on this broadcast last week. I'll say it again. I am not for being involved in foreign entanglements. It is not conducive to the well-being of this country. But we were there. They backed us. Then we left them hanging. Military leader of Syria Kurds thank Trump for ceasefire. General Mazlan Abdi, the preeminent military leader of the Syrian Kurds, thanked President Donald Trump on Wednesday for his efforts in stopping a Turkish offensive and negotiating a ceasefire. General Mazlan, who leads the Syrian Democratic Forces, issued this statement shortly after the president announced that the U.S. was lifting economic sanctions on Turkey in return for its commitment to a permanent ceasefire. I don't know whether the economic sanctions made a big difference or not in a week's time. I have no idea. But General Abdi thinks that Trump did the right thing, and he's thanking Trump for bringing a quick end to this battle and a permanent ceasefire, supposedly. Although we know that Putin's been there with the Turkish president organizing a line of demarcation where there'll be no crossing it and no battle spot. I suppose that's what they're looking at. But the military leader over there says that President Trump brought along the ceasefire, so I don't know. He may have had something more in his mind than just leaving Syria. Maybe there's something he had planned to make things different. I really don't know. But time will tell. Back at the break for the final segment. And again, if you want to call, you're welcome to at 844-769-2944. I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All right, folks, we are back. And, boy, this time goes by fast to you folks. I hope I'm doing a good job for you. I really do. I want to make an impression that to show you that what's going on in the world, not to scare you, but to help you prepare for it. There's so much insanity. Trump has pulled us out of Syria and perhaps Afghanistan. But he said U.S. may have to go to war with Iran soon. Really? Speaking to reporters at the White House on Monday, President Trump bragged about his efforts to try to get the U.S. out of wars, then warned that we may have to get into wars too, okay? Trump continued on talking about how ready the U.S. is for war with Iran and how Iran will get hit like they've never been hit before. The implication is clear that Trump is normally nominally ending wars, but that American hawks will get fresh new wars to replace them. That's likely a rather cynical political ploy, given how much political heat the administration is under for appearing to almost end the Syrian war. That war may not be ending, but offering to trade it for much more. So, folks, I don't understand. If we pull out of Syria, and again, my opinion was bad timing for those that we left behind, but I'm not for entanglements in foreign countries. So why would Trump say we might end one and then go into Iran? Iran is going to be much more of an adversary, an enemy, than we understand. It truly is, and I have been reading for years, whether it's true or not, I don't know, about supercells in this country from nations like Iran that will be turned loose in this country if we go to war with Iran. Could that add to the confusion and chaos in this country? Of course it could. If we start being attacked from within by entities that we don't even realize are here, or if we do know, maybe the FBI does know they're here. They just don't care. I have no idea. But I do know that with that type of chaos in here, it has to affect the bottom line for all of us. How do we pay our bills and feed our family? We need to look this whole picture, folks, not just one little thing at a time. Number lines open, 844-769-2944. U.S. B-52 stimulates bombing run near Russia's Kaliningrad. Whoopee. This was the second time in recent days that a U.S. bomber approached Russia's borders and appeared to carry out a bombing simulation, with the previous incident taking place on October 19th. In that incident, Russian Su-27 fighter was scrambled to escort USAF B-52H approaching Crimea. A U.S. B-52H Stratofortress strategic bomber has carried out a simulated bombing of the Russian Baltic Fleet base in the enclave of Kaliningrad. Aircraft monitoring resources, plane radar has reported, citing tracking media. Now, folks, I don't understand. I guess we're just practicing? Really? I don't know. The resource map shows the bomber flying through the Baltic Sea, turning southeast into Lithuanian airspace, and approaching to within 45 kilometers of the Russian enclave to its east, or Lithuanian town of Marjampol. A day earlier, Russia's defense ministry revealed that an aerospace defense force's Su-27 scrambled from a base in Crimea to escort the B-52H, which approached the Russian borders in the Black Sea, with the jet reportedly shadowing the bomber at a distance of 70 kilometers before returning to base. I guess it's necessary to do practice runs. I'm not up on this. I don't know. I would assume Russia does the same thing with us. I would assume that they do practice runs on our borders. I would guess that to be true. I don't know. But again, all this is leading to an unsteady situation. It's making people nervous, making countries nervous. This can't be leading to good results, I wouldn't think. Really, I wouldn't think yet. And, of course, we all been hearing and the cry babies and the belly aching about the climate problem, the overheating and climate change. And the truth's coming out now more and more from scientists and even from NASA that this is totally a naturally occurring incident in this country. It had been ever since time has been recorded that temperatures change up and down by a few degrees over periods of time, always have and always will. Well, another nail in the coffin of this climate change lie is just finally come out. Extinction Rebellion climate activist paid over $500 per week by George Soros to shut down airports, different things in London. In the past week, over 1,300 arrests were made involving members of the Extinction Rebellion, a climate change alarmist group that is critical of the West and has blocked roads and shut down a London airport. George Soros, so pay attention, folks, this is for real. George Soros is among the high-profile donors to this group. The Mail on Sunday revealed documents showing that activists have been paid over $88,000 during a four-month span and more than $253,000 since the founding of the group. Extinction Rebellion's finances have come under scrutiny as the group has paid no taxes on the money it has paid to its activist members. These so-called activists are paid actors. You don't have to pay people to support a cause in which they truly believe. It's all political theater, folks. Did you hear that? Climate change activists are being paid to protest. Why should that surprise us? It shouldn't at all. George Soros has been behind a lot of things in this world for a long time. Now it's been proven that he's behind paying these people to cry for climate change. Of course, that means more taxation, more control, and more money in the elitist pocket. That's why George Soros is one of the ones funding this. Next article coming up here, and I'm going to read it, and they're going to say, well, that's in China. It's not here. Just like Venezuela's, they're breeding rats and cats and everything on the streets in Venezuela because they couldn't afford to buy anything. That their finances were so poor, inflation was through the roof, and still is. Well, this is in China. China's pig Ebola epidemic leads to increased demand for dog meat. Now, I do know from an exchange student we had over here from the Philippines several years ago that dog meat in the Philippines is a standard fare. It's like us buying beef here. And cat is a delicacy. At least that's what we're told by the exchange student. So anyway, China's devastating outbreak of African swine fever, nicknamed pig Ebola, by outside observers, has compelled the destruction of millions of pigs and created a shortage of pork severe enough to put dog and rabbit meat back on the menu in rural areas. You say, that's gross, that's pathetic, that's hot. Well, folks, if you're hungry, eat about anything. I could never eat a bear. I know people bear hunt, nothing wrong with it. Because every time I look at a bear, I'm thinking about a dog. That's what they eat, everything a dog does. They eat trash, they eat dead stuff, they eat whatever. I can never eat a bear because of that reason. But it's not good for you and when you read what's in it. But nonetheless, that's what I think about when I see somebody eating bear, eating dog. African swine fever is not considered dangerous to humans, but it spreads through pigs with horrifying speed and can survive for long periods of time while it is carried on to other animals or even human clothing. No vaccines available, so infected pigs must be killed to prevent the fever from spreading. The most dire projections, say China, will lose over half its herd this year, which will wipe out almost a quarter of the global pig supply. The damage to China's pork industry has been extensive enough to disrupt the global food chain and factor heavily into China's trade war with the United States. Pork prices in China rose more than 40% over the summer and more than 100% for the year in some areas. Because consumers fear more shocks are coming because they suspect the official government figures are understating the severity of the epidemic. The pork price surge is big enough to rattle the entire Chinese economy and turn bond yields negative for the first time in years. Analysts believe the pork shortage is so serious that Beijing cannot address the problem by tapping into national emergency service reserves, a strategy it began implementing in August. The South China Morning Post reported on Tuesday that Chinese diners are learning to make do without pork, extremely popular food in China, and turning to more readily available meats like dog and rabbit. Supermarkets are pushing rabbit at discount prices while pork vendors are going out of business, and pork is becoming a luxury item. My preacher, that'll never happen in America. We'll never be so hungry we have to eat our pets. Oh, the arrogancy of this nation. Same as Israel was in the Old Testament. It can never happen here. Never happen to us. We have God watch over us. Although they sin greatly, he'll never withdraw his protection from us. And he did, obviously. And he will America. He is America. So, I hope we never see it. But if we go to civil war, folks, you have to find food somewhere. You think about that. Brazil deploys 5,000 troops as fury mounts at inaction over worst oil spill in country's history. I didn't hear this on ABC or anywhere else. But Brazil has deployed 5,000 troops to its beaches amid mounting fury at the government's inaction over the worst oil spill in the country's history. The environmental catastrophe began in early September with large quantities of oil inexplicably washed ashore. The mysterious spill has continued and has now touched more than 1,000 miles of Brazil coast, polluting some of the country's most picturesque beaches and destroying local marine life. Now, public anger is rising over the Brazilian government's failure to stem the flow or indeed establish the oil source. In response, local officials have resorted to urging volunteers to aid the cleanup mission. Videos of volunteers' inefficient attempts to clean up the spills have been met with ridicule on social media. Online commentators have shared footage of locals equipped with little more than rubber gloves and rudimentary fishing nets battling the huge environmental disaster, questioning why the government has not offered a coordinated national response. This week, Hamilton Mourão, the country's vice president, announced he was dispatching 5,000 troops to the North Sea to give more visibility to the government's response. Folks, that ain't found the source of it yet. I mean, really? How are you going to stop it? We don't know where it's even coming from. Wow. And troops deployed on streets of Santiago as Chile president declares state of emergency. So, folks, I haven't heard this on the news, have you? Maybe I missed it. Troops have been patrolling the streets of Chilean capital Santiago as the president, Sebastián Piñera, evoked a state of emergency amid a surge in more violent protests over a hike in public transport fares, the military has confirmed. Hundreds of thousands of commuters were trapped on their way home from work in Santiago on Friday after high school students flooded subway stations as part of the protest against a fare hike. The capital city descended into chaos amid riots that left the downtown building engulfed in flames and its metro system shuttered. Subway services in Santiago were suspended after activists jumped turnstiles, dodged fares, and vandalized stations as part of demonstrations which quickly spread throughout the city of 6 million. Unrest certainly is not all here in this country. Unrest is worldwide, at least in most places. I don't know if a person were to look to go have some place to go in this world where it'd be somewhat normal. I wouldn't know what to suggest to you. Of course, being a pastor and a preacher, I know, realize the scriptures tell us there are no safe places in this world against the beast and beast system, because the beast will have dominion over every kindred, tongue, and spirit. But we're seeing unrest over fare hikes in Chile. A fare hike. I mean, I don't know if it was so outstanding that the people just couldn't afford it and they just got angry. Or was it for trivial reasons? Whatever the reasons are, it makes no difference. They've had to deploy troops to the streets to bring back peace to Santiago, the capital of Chile. Would you think that might affect their finances and their way of living? Yes, I have no doubt about it. Sooner or later, if this continues like it did in Hong Kong, it's going to affect everything. I have people I know that from time to time I do business with because of a Hong Kong situation can't get supplies in. They're routed through Hong Kong. They haven't had supplies now in about 4 months. They're hoping to get some in sometime in the next month and a half or so. But unrest in nations like that has to cause shortages, and who knows what could happen. You know, China for how long was considered right next to, or maybe sometimes no superior to America's in financial situations. They were, their trade was huge. Our deficits with them was huge. I mean, now something as simple as a pork shortage is causing chaos. I mean, I don't know. You tell me, what does it take to cause things to unravel in a nation? Would a military coup do it? Could it happen here? It's happened in other third world nations, and which we're rapidly turning into. Could it happen here? Of course it could happen here. And it probably will. Would a civil war, a war between factions, or between, I don't know, races, blacks and whites and Hispanics and whatever, or between moral, we'll say, straight people and sexual deviants, would that make a difference? Folks, a war about any size in the streets of America will cause utter chaos. The military will step in to try to quell the situation. It'll weaken from the inside out. And only God knows what could happen when a nation's out weak in of its own internal strife. It's happened in the past when they were taken down, not because of overwhelming power from the outside, at least not until they deteriorated on the inside. If that happens to America, can we be taken down? Of course we can be. If you ever get a chance, go online and find Dmitry Dudeman, D-U-D-U-M-A-N. Dmitry Dudeman's prophecies about America. Check it out. And call Melody, 800-375-4188. Talk to you soon, folks. Have a good evening. If I got me a wealthy man.